appreciate the prayer. Ask each of you just to continue to pray for me tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read in your hearing tonight Psalm 27, 27th Psalm. This being a Psalm of David, and pray the Lord would just bless us to look at it tonight, and though I'm sure it's so very, very familiar to all of you, that the Lord would stir up our pure minds tonight by way of remembrance and wonderful truths that are contained in this psalm, that it might serve to encourage us as we're living here in a world that's so full of trouble and in so much need of the direction that comes from the Lord. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me. And answer me, when thou said, Seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And this psalm is filled with the promises of Almighty God. The word of one who cannot change, does not change, will not lie, cannot lie. The one who speaks and it stands fast. The one who works and none can let it. And we can have complete confidence tonight in what's written here. Though it was written a long time ago, the words are just as sure and just as much truth tonight as they've ever been. And it's good to know that we have a God that does not change. And that the truth of his word does not change. And that the one we depended upon yesterday is here for us today. And no matter how long we live in this world, even unto death, we believe the Lord will be with us. And even at death, he will be there and carry us home to be with him forever in eternal heaven. So much so that the hymn writer wrote, "How sweet to die, farewell vain world, I'm going home." The Lord is my light and my salvation. And we've talked about this many times, but tonight I want us just to think about how it would be for us if it were not for the Lord. What a situation, what a circumstance, what a predicament, what a place we would be in tonight. We'd be totally ignorant of that. We would have no idea or understanding of that because we would be completely in the dark. We would have no light. Without the Lord, we'd have no light. Without the light, we would have no understanding. Without the light, well, we're in the dark. And not only would we be in the dark, but according to the Ephesian letter, ye who were sometimes darkness, we were not only in the dark, we were darkness. Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk therefore as the children of light. Tonight we come to try to worship the Lord in a way, in a manner that's pleasing to him. We know that in order to do that, We need His guidance. We need His direction. We need His wisdom. We need His knowledge. We need the light, don't we? Because we really don't know how to do that. And all you have to do is look at the world and see how so many people think you're supposed to worship God, and then look at the light of God's Word and the direction that comes from God's Word, and you can clearly see that many of God's children, even tonight, do not have the understanding or the knowledge or the light to know even how, though they have a zeal of God, it's not according to knowledge, and they're really walking in a darkness. We also know in our own life, we're not always walking in the light. There are times, though I've seen the light and know the light, thank God that I've seen the light, that sometimes those of God's children that have been called out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light, sometimes we backslide and slip into a place where we don't always walk in the light we've been given. We don't always do what the inner man is directing us to do. We're not always following the Lord. We sometimes, like the children of Israel, we transgress and we disobey the Lord. None of us, I don't believe tonight, would dare say that when we do that, we're walking in the light. We'd have to say we're outside of the light, though we have the light. Sometimes I think we close our eyes. Sometimes we fail to study. Sometimes we don't look to the light. Sometimes we choose to listen to the things and the ideas of this world. Sometimes the old devil comes and presents himself as a light. And how many of God's children even fall under that spell and that deceitfulness that comes when the old devil says, "I'm the light, follow me," and the way that he and there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but is it a good way? Is it the way of light? No. It's a way of darkness and a way of death. The good news is the only light we ever have and will ever need, and all the light we ever have and ever need, is from the Lord. If you've got the Lord tonight, you got the light. And by the way, if you got Him, it isn't because you grabbed Him, because you were in the dark. We didn't know what to grab or who to grab. Not only in the dark, you were darkness. But He who is the light, just as He said in the very beginning, before there was a sun and before there was a moon or before the stars were ever made, the Lord spoke in the beginning, in the very beginning, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. A little later on, He made the sun and the moon and the stars and all that we think of today as sources of light. We sometimes are taught by the scientific world that without the sun, there wouldn't be any energy on the planet. We'd have no light, we'd have no heat. But we believe there is a sun, S-O-N, who made the sun, the S-U-N, that is was able to provide even the natural light before there ever was a sun to provide that light. And then He put that light in the heavens. And by the way, I believe it'll stay there until He's done with it. I'm not worried about, as we've heard some say, the sun burning out or some failure of the stars or whatever. I believe in a God who has all power, who is able to keep that which He has made until its time and its season comes or passes, if that indeed is the case, and then He'll be done with it. And we wouldn't know anything about that tonight if it weren't for the light that, number one, Jesus is. If you believe this tonight, it's because He's come in your heart. If you believe this tonight, it's because He's awakened you from the death that you were in and trespasses and in sins, and He has given you life. And then in that life, He gave you the wisdom to cry in the spirit of adoption. You receive that spirit of adoption whereby you cry, "Abba, Father." And then in the gospel, the light of the gospel shines in on the life that's been given by Almighty God already. And the eye that He's given you and the ear that He's given you and the heart that He's given you of faith is able to perceive this light and see this light. And tonight, I hope we're rejoicing in the light. I hope you're rejoicing in the light. Sometimes we're scared of the dark, aren't we? We look at this old world, and I see darkness all around me. I see darkness in the political world. I see darkness in the economic world. I see darkness in the social world. I see darkness in the very highest places of government and the highest places of man's so-called religion. And it's only in the Lord's house and among the Lord's people that I find a light. And of course, His light is ever present, even in this dark world. He who is with you always is your light in the dark world. And so we do not have to be afraid tonight. That's what David said in his day and in his time. And I believe with all my heart, our forefathers here, even that were a part of the constitution of this church, I believe they believed this, and He was their light then. He has kept us in this little space for this amount of time to hear. I believe He's our light tonight, and until the Lord comes again, He'll be our light, and then when He takes us home, He'll be our light over there. We won't need the sun or the moon or the stars, because He's the light of that place, and the glorious light of His presence will be all, well, He's really tonight all the light that we need. Now, sometimes we say, you know, we read that passage and we think about that passage that says, "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And we look at our own selves and we think, boy, you know, what kind of light am I? You know, what have I got to shine? And we know in and of ourselves we have no light. We know in and of ourselves we have no strength. We know in and of ourselves we have no ability. We know in and of ourselves we, without Him, we can't do anything. And one of the things that we as Old Baptists want to say, and all of God's children ought to say this, is that without the Lord, there's absolutely no good that can come out of any of us. Without Him, there is no good in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But we don't want to leave ourselves there, because that's not where the Lord called us to be. He called us out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light for a reason and for a purpose. He placed Happy Creek Church here for a purpose. He placed these other churches, little sister churches around us, for a purpose. He placed His militant church here in this world for a purpose. And that purpose was to shine forth the light, to set as a city on a hill that cannot be hid, to light be the salt of this earth and the light of this world, not because we have some light in ourselves, but this scripture tells us the Lord is our light. David said, "He's my light." I hope we can say tonight, personally, because of the Lord, not because we got Him, but because He got us, that He's my light. I'm telling you this, if I've ever had any light, He's my light. If I had any other light, it is just darkness. And if the light that is in you be darkness, how great that darkness is. I'll tell you, in our pulpits, we need the light of the Lord, which means we need the Lord Jesus Christ to bless our ministers to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which shines as a light to God's little children, and it gives us encouragement and direction and instruction. Otherwise, we're in the dark and we're going to be bumping into each other and then everything else. And this old trip between here and death is going to be a rough road for us, where we may get even to the place we feel like we're in a hell right here on earth. Now, I don't believe God's children ever stood in danger of eternal woe or eternal hell, but I know this, they can get themselves in a real predicament in this world through their rebellion and disobedience. Let's don't just say them. Let's say us. We can get ourselves in a real predicament in this world when we take what God has given us and consider it so lightly, so unadvisedly, so disrespectfully, that we just kind of take it as not being very much. Tonight I want us to see, if we've got Him, you got the light of the world, who is your King and your Lord. And in this world you have no reason. Don't let little man make you afraid. Don't let the greatest of men make you afraid. Don't let the old devil, who is a liar, make you afraid. Listen, he's been whipped and defeated. He might be a roaring lion, but it's like one old preacher said, he's had the teeth knocked right out of him. He just roars. He's lost his bite, because the one who conquered him at Calvary, Jesus, went to the cross to save us and deliver us. And He didn't try to do it. He did it. And He took that one who held us captive, and one who was stronger than the strong man, came and delivered the captivity. He made captivity captive. He brought us out of the captivity we were in, under the bondage of sin and hell and Satan and death. And He brought us out of that captivity and brought us into another captivity. He's made you captive. You're His tonight because He chose you. He loved you. He's born you of His Spirit. You've been made alive. And He's put in you His life, which is eternal life. And you will never lose that. And you have the light of the Lord, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, dwelling in your heart, taking in the person of the Holy Spirit. And in, as we walk in Him, look to Him, lean upon Him, we're not going to be in the dark. I don't care. You know, it says, well, what if you get out on a real dark night? The Scripture says where He is, in Him there is no darkness at all. The light and the dark are the same to Him because He is the light. He's the power source. He's our light. Y'all agree with that, right? The Lord is my light. And He's my salvation. He's my salvation. He's every form of my salvation. He's every phase of my salvation. If there wasn't one who came in the way Jesus came as a man, the very Son of God, born in this world as Emmanuel, took upon Himself a body of flesh, if He had not been all that the Bible says that He was, verily God and verily man, He could not have done what He did in living a perfect life and walking in this world according to the divine knowledge of Almighty God. There wasn't a step that He took that wasn't directed of the Father. There wasn't an action that He ever did that wasn't in the light of God and in according to the very will of His Father. He was one with the Father in full agreement with the Father. And He came and His face, as the Scripture says, was set like a flint that He might go to the cross. There at Calvary, He took in His own body our sins. Because of the light that He was, there wasn't any part of us that He didn't know about, any need that we had that wasn't met, any sin that we had ever commit that He was unaware of. Because see, even though men do that in the dark, they don't hide from God. Men may think they're hiding from God. Sometimes you and I, as God's little children, think we get, like, you know, kind of like Jonah. We just think we'll run from the Lord. The Lord said, go here, we'll just go the other way. Running from the Lord, and we won't be any success, more successful than Jonah was. Because you see, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. That is in the dark and in the light. Beholding, because He is the light, beholding the good and the evil. The good news about that is that every sin that I would ever commit in my life or ever do wrong, contrary to God, one of them would have separated me from God forever. Jesus took every one of them in His own body, and at Calvary, He offered Himself as our high priest. He offered Himself a perfect sacrifice. He was both the priest, the high priest, and the perfect sacrifice that was necessary to appease and satisfy the very wrath of God, which demanded truth and demanded, and we have mercy. We have mercy and truth coming together. You know, that mercy and truth have met together. And righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The other verse that was on my mind tonight was the 85th Psalm. So if you go over there to the latter part of the 85th Psalm, you'll find that passage where mercy and truth are met together. When did mercy and truth meet together? I'm telling you, Calvary. Mercy and truth met together. Mercy was shown to you and I. And truth demanded that the wages of sin be paid. And God didn't just turn His back and say, I'm going to forget it. He said, payment had to be made. And the Son said, I'm willing to make that and satisfy the demands of a righteous and holy God. And as God and as the man, He died on the tree of the cross, paid that sin debt. And mercy was shown to us, and God did it right. You see, men do it unright, in unrighteous ways, but God is holy and righteous. And you and I wouldn't have a clue about that or care about it if it wasn't the light that He is for us. And what does that do for you tonight? Can you imagine if you live your life, and I don't like to even think about it, not knowing about any of this? Not knowing about anything but what you know as a man. The Bible tells you about that. You know, the wise man Solomon wrote all about that over in the book of Ecclesiastes. About all that the world affords just as a man, you know. It's just folly and vanity and vexation of spirit. It's just doing the same thing over and over. It's like a little, like one of those little rats or something that gets on that little wheel, and he jumps up on that wheel and he just runs all day long, and he's not going anywhere. He's just running the rat race. And life is like a rat race, and you gain and then you lose, and then no matter what, when death comes, it's all over. And no matter and that happens to the rich and the poor. Men get goods and they never satisfied with that which they get. They want more, and whatever they have, they'll never be satisfied with. And no matter what you got, no matter how much power you get, no matter, and Solomon had all those wives. He had all the things that the world would say, boy, that man set up, and more than any man had. And did it bring him joy and peace and rest in his life? No, I'll tell you what, it led him in a bad course. Now, just a little bit in this world, having food and raiment, which God has promised to you and I tonight. If you and I tonight can be satisfied with just the food and raiment God has provided, you are walking in the light of the Lord, because the world will tell you you don't have enough. Don't you hear that sometimes out of your old nature? I just don't have enough. I just don't have enough. And the Lord said, I feed the lilies. I clothe the lilies and I feed the sparrows. And there's not one of them that ever fall to the earth without me. He is the one who is. And if he is all that for them, are you not much more valuable to God than a sparrow? I'm telling you, if he sent his only begotten son, though you may feel worthless. You see, that's the wonderful thing about the truth. In one sense, you say, I'm worthless and no good. You ought to say that in your heart according to nature as a man. But in another sense, you are a purchased possession by Almighty God that was so valuable to Him, not because of you, but because of Him, that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for you. And that means today, the rest of the day, He's going to watch over me. He's going to watch over you. And I can either trust that and believe that and have peace with it, or I can go out of here all troubled and worried. God's still watching over us either way. It's just one way you're walking happy, and the other way you're like the two on the road to Emmaus. You're on the way, but you're walking so sad. Why are you so sad? Listen, old Baptist, we ought not be sad. God's children ought not be sad. Some of them are like trembling jailers and weeping Marys that we sang about tonight. And they need to hear the wonderful gospel. And not in order to give them life, but to shine this light that they might see who their Savior. Let us tell them of the Savior. What we've said tonight and what we're able to rest in tonight, what a blessing it is just to rest in that finished work. And if you have that peace and that rest tonight, so many of God's little children are trying to add to and get done what they feel like Jesus didn't quite finish in their place and in their room instead. Sometimes we take it for granted. Such amazing message, such amazing blessing, such amazing place He's given us in the church. You know, he placed His church here in this world, and He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's a place where we go to the waters of baptism and watch the picture of His death, burial, and resurrection in the way that God said do it. In an ordinance given to the church to carry out in this world. We are able to join together and break bread together and wine together, which pictures the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do it in fellowship with one another to honor and glorify Him. And remember the promise that He's coming again. He's coming again, dear ones. And we do that until He comes again. There will be a place doing that when the Lord returns. Both of those ordinances will be carried out. And when the last little heir promise is born of the Spirit of God in this world and the Lord sees fit to come, there's going to be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and He's going to return. And you and I tonight wouldn't have a clue about any of that if it weren't for the light of Almighty God that shined in your life and in my life. We believe it from God's Word, but there are many people that read this book and get nothing out of it. And if God hadn't enlightened us, we wouldn't get anything out of it either. And if a preacher stands up here and reads out of it, he won't be able to preach unless God gives him that light and that ability. And that comes from the Lord. The Lord tonight is our light. He is the one deserving the praise and the honor and the glory. He's our light. He's our salvation. And the good news about that is if He's your light and your salvation, you really got the light and you really got salvation. If I'm your salvation, you're in trouble. And if I'm your light, woe be. A light that you have that will be so weak and feeble. You know how wonderful it is to understand we don't have to go strike up our own fire. We don't have to get our own fire. The Lord is our... Listen, this is the one who when they were offering up those sacrifices and they laid out the sacrifices in the wood and Elijah called fire down from heaven. I'm telling you, Elijah didn't make the fire. Elijah didn't get a match out. He didn't go rub sticks together and get sparks. He called on the Lord, and the Lord burn up that sacrifice. And though it's been drenched with water many times over, and everything filled up with water, and he licked up the sacrifice and the water and even the stones, and he licked up the dust. I'm telling you, that's the kind of Lord. He is our light. He said, "The Lord is the strength of my life." Now, when we talk about I am weak, right? We sing that, I am weak. But don't forget the other part. But thou art strong. I am weak tonight. You are weak. The church, in and of itself, is going to be weak. We come in poor, weak, and worthless, though I am. Remember, that hymn doesn't stop there. It says, poor, weak, and worthless, though I am, I have a what? A rich, almighty friend. I'm telling you, our God is not weak. And if the Lord is the strength of my life, I can say with all assurance and confidence, blessed assurance and confidence, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. That's why we can say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I'm telling you, this verse describes a little David that went into battle against a Goliath. That's what this verse describes. This verse describes a David that when the lion came to get the herd, he was bold and stood there and grabbed him by his beard. It wasn't David and his great might that did that. It was the Lord who was his light and his salvation. And it's the Lord who gave him the strength of his life. And when David walked outside of that strength, I'm telling you what, he made a mess of it. He went over there. Next thing you know, he's in a mess with Bathsheba. He's in a mess trying to cover up. I'm telling you, he tried to cover up things and tried to hide things, and the Lord, who was his light, called him out and sent a prophet to preach to him and told him such a story that David said, "Oh, I'm just show me the man that did such a thing. Is taking this little man's that little lamb, and he's got this whole flock, and he took this man's little lamb that he'd raised up as one of his own daughters, and would dare do that. You give me that man." And Nathan says, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." Psalm 51 is another beautiful psalm that'll tell you what David felt. I'm telling you, he felt like he had lost his fellowship with the Lord in the sense of his way of communion. He was outside of his light. He was outside of his strength. He was in a mess. And you know what he did? He repented and cried out, "Lord, restore unto me the joy, the rest, and the joy of thy salvation." He said, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." We're living in a world that's going to be contrary to every little believer. It is. You have an adversary that will do anything. He's an accuser of the brethren. He'll try to wreck your life. He'll try to ruin your life. The world will try to lead you the wrong way. The world would like to see you mess up. This world is not a friend. We sang that hymn. Seems like a lot of hymns coming to my mind tonight. This, "Am I a soldier of the cross?" says, this world is not a friend to help us on to God. It's not your ally. If we become friends with the world, we're not going to be, we're going to be contrary to where we ought to be with the Lord. We're to love the Lord, not love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all those things are contrary to the love of God. And they'll bring heartache to us in our lives. God will never lose one of His little children. But God's little children, again, can get themselves in a bad, bad state by ignoring. Well, verse 13 tells us we can faint. I had fainted unless I had believed. When we're walking in belief, we're not going to faint. But when we stop believing, I'm telling you, have you seen God's little children faint? I've seen you fainting. You've seen me faint. You've seen me come in doubt and in fear. And what we need to do when we're there is remind one another, brother, just remember what a great God took care of all the children in the Old Testament, and the children of God in the New Testament, and our forefathers, and our own lives. Listen, our lives are filled with His power and His might and His testimony of and the testimony of what it is to when you trust in the Lord. When God's little children trust in the Lord, they are going to be kept and they'll never be ashamed. Even in the salvation, and we mentioned that salvation. Every time the word salvation is mentioned in the Bible, it's not always talking about eternal heaven and eternal home. Many times it's talking about day-to-day deliverances here in our life, moment by moment and hour by hour. I'm faced as you're faced in this old world at times where we need deliverance from the Lord for that moment, for that time. And I believe God's big enough to do that, don't you? I believe He's worthy of our trust and our dependence in Him. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to even my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why? Because when he was walking in the light of the Lord and in his salvation and the strength of his life was the Lord, I'm telling you, no man can stand against the Lord. Men stand up and they may get bold and puffed up and think they can shake their fist in the face of the Lord. But I'm telling you, no man is going to stand. And just like the grass of the field, they fret not yourself over evildoers. They may flourish for a little while, but they soon are cut down. And we should be just so thankful that the Lord hasn't left us in that lot and in that case. He says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You know, sometimes we can handle one thing pretty good, and then another thing will come, and you go like, okay, and then another one will come, and then sometimes you just get totally, totally overwhelmed. And you feel like, am I going to make it at all? Remember David in this verse. He said, though a host, that's not just one or two. He said, though there's a whole host that encamp about me. You know why David could say this? Because he knew his God was greater than any one or many, no matter how many. He said, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Why? Because I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm leaning on Him. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Now, this is beautiful. Well, the most important thing for you and me in this world, in our lives, he said, that will I seek after. This ought to be our desire. We talked about Martha and Mary. This is Mary right here. One thing she sought after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And I'm telling you, this is not just about a bunch of people coming together in a house. It's talking about having communion and fellowship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. It's talking about having fellowship with the Lord and hearing from His Word and singing songs of praise to Him and carrying on those things that He's given to us as a church to carry on. And all of that, everything that the Lord has designed in His church, you know what it does? It shows forth the beauty of the Lord. You know, the one place it says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. I believe that's Psalm 84. That means altogether beautiful is the Lord's church. You have one of these meetings, that's not hard to see. Now, sometimes when the church comes together and they got a lot of schisms going on and some backbiting going on, or someone's talking about somebody or something like that does creep in, and you got those weeds that creep into our garden got to be pulled up, and those roots of bitterness got to be pulled up, and we've got to come at the feet of one another and be where we're supposed to be. And when the church looks like the world, it looks like the world. But I'm telling you, when God's little children gather together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, like we've had in several of the meetings and the meetings we've had down through this year, there is no place like the church. It's not a place that I have to go on Sunday. It's a place I have to be on Sunday in order to get through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's a place that I need to go for my strength. It's a place that I remember the beauty of the Lord. And to see the beauty of the Lord, it reminds me of where my light is. It reminds me of where my salvation is. It reminds me of where my strength is. If I forget Him, I forget the strength of my life. If I get him, I get in the dark. If I forget him, I become afraid. All of the things in verse 1 and 2 and 3, when we get away from the house of God, which teaches us those things, we lose sight of that. That doesn't mean the Lord isn't out there with us. The Lord was with David. David didn't cease to be a little child of God, but I'm telling you, he got outside of his fellowship, and he got outside of not his relationship, but his communion and his fellowship with the Lord, and you read Psalm 51, he was in a mess. And that's a good place when one's in a mess for him to be, because at least he was repentant. And he was looking to the Lord and he was asking forgiveness. Aren't you glad tonight we have a God who doesn't just, well, you messed up, that's it, you cut off. But he's faithful and just. When we ask, he says when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the one who is our light and our salvation. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That means every day that I live, I want to have fellowship with the Lord. And somebody said, well, does that mean you go to church every day? Well, in a sense, you do. When it's time to leave everything else and come to the house of God, that ought to be a priority. It's our reasonable service. It's what we ought to be doing, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But then if it's just on Sunday we go and the rest of the week we just closed off and then never think about anything or do anything, I'm mighty afraid our religion is written in one place that our religion is in vain. It's an empty religion. Listen, true religion and undefiled before God, what is it, to visit the widows? I'm not getting all of that, but I'll have to look that up. But it's something that's heartfelt. It's something that brings about action and behavior. It changes how you act and how you talk and how you think. You carry take the name of Jesus with you. You go on the workplace and the things that you've been fed in the congregation of believers, the things that you've been fed, you carry out, and that's when you let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works. And those good works are not because you're something, it's because your Savior's something. And you glorify your Father. Now, you look peculiar in this world when you start acting like the Lord's taught you to act. When you start forgiving, loving, walking humility, meekness, you bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those things become bountiful in your life. You look strange in this world. People, and there are others, there are many that will hate you for it, but there's others of God's children that will see that and be attracted to it. And brethren, that's what our desire ought to be. Is there a little trembling jailer on the job? Is there a weeping Mary? Is there, you know, you can't go make a weeping Mary or a trembling jailer, but I'm telling you, if the Lord's made them, you can help them. You can help them. You can't make a little child of God, but when God's made one, you find him out there in this world. He needs to know the things you and I know. He needs to understand, and we need to know him better. He needs to know what's found in God's word. He needs to be fed. He's hungry and he's faint, and he needs to hear about a Savior. He needs to have the light shine on his life so that he'll have some understanding of what's going on. One thing I have a desire to the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And what's the beauty? Is that I can behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. You ever have questions about what you ought to do? Which way do we go? How should I act in this? How am I supposed to behave as a husband? How am I supposed to behave as a grandfather? How am I supposed to behave on the job? How am I supposed to behave when I'm confronted with this and confronted with that? There's no better place to come than to the house of God and inquire of the Lord and come begging. And I'll tell you what I believe. God, when we have a need, will send us a preacher. Send us one. There was that one on the road, wasn't it? And he was searching the scrolls of Isaiah. An Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem to worship, and the Lord sent a Philip to him and preached exactly that which he stood in need of hearing, using the very text that he had been looking at and didn't have any understanding. He said, how can I know unless someone guides me? God has chosen that. foolishness of preaching to save them, deliver them, not just get them to heaven. Listen, Jesus died and got them to heaven. The preaching of the gospel through what Jesus has done, he blesses ministers to preach to enlighten them of what the Lord's done for them. He just told them what Isaiah 53 was talking about. That's what he did. And so much so, it got him so excited, he said, here's water. What doth him to me? He was ready to be baptized, to walk in the example given by his Savior. And he said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. I'm telling you, there's nothing like that. When you feel overwhelmed with trouble, to feel him grab you and hide you in his pavilion. You know, if you're out in a storm, it's good to get to a pavilion, isn't it? A place where you got covering over your head. And in this world, I'm telling you, you're in a storm. Our young people are in a storm. Middle-aged people are in a storm. And older people are in a storm, wherever you fit. Wherever you even think you fit. You're in a storm. We need a solid rock to stand on. We need a pavilion. And he hides us. And he said, he shall hide me in the time of trouble in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. That's where you have fellowship and communion with him. And it's a secret place. Listen, it's a place that the world can't see, doesn't know anything about. You have his manifest presence, not only at the church, which I do believe it's here, but I believe it's also with us wherever we are. It could be in a hospital room when the news just came that just what you just was overwhelmed by it. You can go to the Lord, and in the secret of his tabernacle, you feel his presence. You know all is well. You don't even have to know how it's going to be, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay if I get better, or it's okay if I don't. It's okay if they get better, or if they don't. That's not, listen, the world can't give you that. You can't manufacture it. But in the Lord, you can have that kind of peace and contentment in your life. As a matter of fact, that's the only place you can have it. And he shall set me upon a rock. Listen, the storms are going to hit. The storms are here. And our house, the bigger we build it, if it's not on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater the fall will be. But when we build our house upon that rock of Jesus Christ and hearing his sayings and keeping them, then when the storms hit, our house will stand. It will stand. And he says, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Oh, when we come together and we sing, we'll be singing with joy in our hearts. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Joy about our salvation eternally. Joy about our timely deliverance. Joy about having a friend like Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a blessing just to pray to him. What a blessing tonight to be able to go to a throne of grace, which we don't deserve to even be able to get anywhere close to, and go into the very presence of Almighty God the Father through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an advocate. We have one who's sitting on the right hand of the God, making intercession for us. Even when we don't even have sense enough to know how to pray, he teaches us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And our prayers and our sacrifices are acceptable in the sight of God. It goes up as a sweet smelling savor to him. He said, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. And he will do that. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You'll find this over and over throughout the scripture. You'll never find anyone who seeks the Lord first and then the Lord returns. You find those who seek the Lord are the ones he's first sought out and he's worked in them. Notice it says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, then my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. God, and we never get to the place where we see, well, I get this because of this is all the good that I've done. Listen, if you're able to do anything, it's because he's first worked in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, once he's worked that in, it is our duty and our responsibility. And there are blessings in obedience, and there's chastisements that come in a way of blessings in disobedience. And we should be doing what he would tell us to do. But we're to work out. We can't work out that which he hadn't worked in, but that which he's worked in, we're to work it out. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Can we say that? Has he been your help? Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. I'll tell you, if he leaves us, we're in trouble. Happy Creek Church is in trouble if he leaves us. It doesn't matter who we have fill the pulpit, we're in trouble. Doesn't matter who we have come in, we're in trouble. Doesn't matter how many visitors we have. Doesn't matter what we do. We labor in vain. If the Lord doesn't keep the house, they labor in vain. We'll labor in vain. But he has promised. He said, he has been our help though, hasn't he? Hasn't he been our help? Hasn't he blessed us? He has been my help. Leave me not. Let's pray. Lord, don't leave us. Revive us. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And then the verse comes in assurance. Even though as he's praying to the Lord, the assurance comes. He says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. This verse has always meant a lot to me because, you know, at one time we probably couldn't imagine getting along in this world without mom and dad. We probably couldn't imagine that. Those of us especially who've had real close moms and dads. But you know, as time goes on, moms and dads get weaker. And sometimes the mom and dad who's always provided the help have to be the one who gets the help. And sometimes sometimes moms and dads, for some little children in this world, moms and dads are not help. Sometimes moms and dads sometimes seem to be their worst enemy. I'm telling you, in the Lord, though, we have one greater than mom and dad. And even when mom and dad are well-intentioned and would want to do it, when they forsake us, because they'll never be able to keep. You know, mamas try to keep them. I know mamas that are mama all the way they can. And they try to do it all the way. But at some point, you can't do it. There's nothing. I've done what I can do. There's nothing more I can do. Can I say to you, it's wonderful to know there is a Lord who still can do things we can't do. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, me. And if we ever thought we could do so much, well, we were just mistaken anyway. It says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And then verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. What that's saying is, Lord, please make it clear to me what I'm supposed to do. You ever just feel like I'm sometimes don't know what to do? Lord, help me know when to talk. Help me know when to be quiet. Lord, help me know when to stand up. Help me know when I'm pharisaical. Help me know when I'm hypocritical. Help me, Lord, keep me sincere. Help me do what I'm supposed to do and let my light so shine. You see, it didn't just let your light shine. It says, let it so shine. And that way of so shining gives glory to God, not to the person. It gives glory to the Lord. And let it be that when we stand up, we do it in a way and manner that we're always pointing to the Lord and giving Him the glory. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path. Sometimes we just say, let me have my way, O Lord. That's the way we pray, when it ought to be rather than let me have my way. Teach me thy way, Lord, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies. Listen, there are those who would destroy us. There are those who are waiting for you to stumble and fall. There are those that are waiting for you to mess up. Have you ever noticed how people that stand for what's right at any time, there are many that are sitting there just waiting to see them stumble a little bit, while others right around them who don't even try get by with anything, but they're looking at you if you're trying to stand for what's right. And all you got to do is just slip up a little bit, and boy, they're right there. Listen, if they can discredit, and really in discrediting you as a little child of God, they're trying to bring discredit against our Lord. That's why it's important for you and I to behave the best we can in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. We have a duty and a responsibility to Him, not to bring any reproach. We don't want to do anything to dishonor our family name. We certainly don't want to do anything to dishonor the name of our Savior, the name of our God. And of course, we know without His grace, we're going to always make mistakes. We're going to always come short. That's why it's so good to be able to come back and beg for forgiveness and know that He has forgiven us. I'm glad Psalm 51 is in the Bible. I'm not glad David sinned, but I'm certainly thankful that God allowed and suffered. He allowed us to see that good man, in a sense. David fell, but the Lord blessed him and restored him and forgave him. And that shouldn't give us any reason to say I got license, because you don't. But it's wonderful to know when we do mess up, and we surely will, we come back to Him and beg forgiveness. He says, "For false witnesses are risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty." Listen, the devil would have you convinced tonight that you, because of the way you act and behave, you couldn't possibly be God's child. Because he'd like for you to just give up altogether. He can't take your eternal destiny, but he'd like to make you miserable. And if he could just, he's an accuser of the brethren. He's going to do that. He just continues to do that. And I'm glad we have an advocate, though, that overrules the accuser, aren't you? I mean, he's the one who's bringing charges against you. Some cases they're false. Some cases they're the real thing. Some cases he said, "Look, this is what your child has done." And our advocate says, "Yes, but this is what I did for my child." And he's forgiven, and his sins are removed. And though he's not worthy in himself to worship me, he is worthy in my son to worship me. Because he's been made accepted in the beloved. And the old devil would like to say, "You've not been made accepted." The doctrines of this world would say, "You've not been made accepted." Listen, if he hadn't made us accepted, we'll never be accepted. If you're trying to get accepted tonight, you're trying to get good enough to be accepted, that's trusting in your own righteousness, which is nothing but filthy rags. And you'll never have peace in that area. And I know y'all trusting in it, but deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Verse 13 and 14, we could spend a while here, but we'll read them. I had fainted unless I had believed. And I know I've said this many, many times. I'm going to say it again tonight. You're either going to be believing or fainting. As a little child of God, we either believe. Is it better to walk through life fainting, or is it better to walk through life believing? And we're not believing and trusting in the Lord when we're just fainting. We're fainting. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if we faint not. Let's not faint. Let's believe. Let's believe. To see what? The goodness of the Lord. Listen, the goodness of the Lord is surrounding us tonight. The goodness of the Lord has surrounded our life. The goodness of the Lord has surrounded our church. The goodness of the Lord is all around us. But I'm telling you, you can't see the goodness of the Lord but through an eye of faith. If you close that eye of faith, if you close that ear of faith, you can't see the goodness of the Lord. It's only the eye of faith that can see the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. Isn't that true? The eye hadn't seen it. The natural eye, the natural ear, the natural heart hadn't entered into it hasn't entered into them. It's impossible. But God hath revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Tonight when I'm walking in faith, I can see the goodness of the Lord all around me. And when I'm walking outside of faith, everything's rotten. Nothing's good. Food doesn't taste good. Same old stuff as I ate last time. The house doesn't look right. Car doesn't drive right. Work is a bad place. Kids won't listen. Everything's bad. My knee don't work. Everything's bad. And when we see it through the eye of faith, we think, "Oh, good the Lord's been to an old worm like me. Bless me with all that I have. Bless me with the blessings I have. All the wonderful benefits He's laid on me every single day of my life. And above everything, one day I'll be with Him in glory. And there'll be no more pain or sorrow or trouble." When I'm thinking about it in my own way, I forget all about those things. Get right down in this world. It's when I need to get back to the house of God. Why? To inquire of the Lord. To see the beauty of the Lord. And inquire in His temple. He said, to see the goodness of the Lord, where? In the land of the living. I believe tonight we have gathered in the land of the living. Out there is the land of the dead. In here is the land of the living. God's little children ought to be among the brethren. Come out from the world and be ye separate. The world is walking in the death that they're in until God quickens them. They will never be alive. Those who are alive are to walk like the living. You live in the land of the living. And he says, wait on the Lord. Boy, it's kind of like the little brother said, Lord, grant me patience and hurry up. I mean, I'm really impatient. I'll tell you what, I'll give you patience. So the Bible tells you that tribulation worketh patience. When you go through a lot of trouble, you learn to just, you have to wait on the Lord. You just have to. He said, well, I don't want to. Well, you'll learn to. You just got a tribulation to teach you. You got to wait on the Lord. You can't fix it yourself. All you'll do is make it worse. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't wait there saying, you know, it says, we sing a hymn that says, wait and murmur not. Most of the time we're waiting and murmuring the whole time. We're waiting because we have to and murmuring about having to wait. And that is not living in the land of the living. That's walking. We're fainting when we're like that. This is to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Why? He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that means as we're facing things in life, we're to wait on the Lord. When the Lord tells us something to do, we ought to do it. But until He does, we need to wait. Don't run ahead. As He leads us, then we're to follow. And I guess I'm at verse 14. And I do appreciate your kind attention tonight. Pray it's been of some benefit to you. And I know it's not anything that you hadn't heard many, many times before, but I do believe we need to be reminded over and over again of who it is that is our strength and the one we're to look to. And to live in any other way is not to honor Him as He so richly deserves us to do. As long as we live in here in this world, we ought to do the best we can to honor and glorify this great God who is our light and our salvation. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
I love you, my dear brother. Bless you.